today on Real Radio.
Your life is so incredibly anointed by God, and you say, I don't feel it, I don't see it. Decide today, based upon the victory that's in Christ, to continue on in that victory and stand there and say, Lord, here I am, send me.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Anchored, A Study in 1 Peter, with a message called Suffering the Will of God, Part 2. The Apostle Peter was a disciple of Jesus Christ, who of course later on became the leader of the first church. Now, Peter unpacks for us the importance of our witness to the world. Until God rights all wrongs, we have a job to do. And our most compelling response to his challenge is to love the way Jesus loved, because love covers all. In part one, we saw how it's God's will that we have the right attitude about suffering and sin. Like Jesus, we're not only to embrace suffering, but to allow it to both refine us and to purify us. And like Jesus, we're not only to hate sin, but to help rescue those who are caught in its snare. Incredible opposition is actually an incredible opportunity to live out what we believe about Jesus Christ, knowing that one day we will live forever with him. So today, on day three of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that we are to die to our sinful ways and walk in the newness of the life Christ died for. Our old self was crucified with Christ, and we can now walk in the victory that Christ gave us over the power of sin. And now in his message called Suffering the Will of God, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
So when the hook comes along, flee from it. Run. The word implies, by the way, flee, become a fugitive when sin pops up. You don't walk around it. You don't wink at it. Hey, I remember you. You don't drive down its street. You don't reminisce about the old times. Have you noticed the good old times? You always glorify, oh, remember that? We had such a great time. It's so not true. We're lying. We barely survived. Flee youthful lust, but in opposition, pursue righteousness. Decide to do the right thing. Faith, love, peace with those who call, notice the church, to those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they lead or they generate to strife. I say it over and over again. Verse 23, probably translated in the original language, would say, but avoid foolish and ignorant internet conversations. It's probably connected to Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, something that's got to be in the Greek word in there. Tweetsky or something. I'm kidding, of course. But verse 23 is not being obeyed. People's lives are being governed by this ridiculous world we live in. Stop it. Stop it dead in its tracks, says the Bible. Not necessary. And then listen, one more time, we go to this. Look at verse 2. Suffering. Suffering the will of God is to have the right attitude about sin. And thirdly, we look at this, it's to continue on in the victory. Now, make sure you highlight the word to continue on. Continue. Verse 2 says that no longer, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh. Watch, either. I like to say either. So it says for the lust of men. I like to put it this way. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh, either obeying the lust of this world or obeying the will of God. Stop it. This is cool. No longer struggle with the debate between two. Choose one. This echoes in the New Testament word, it echoes to an Old Testament truth. Do you remember when Joshua was aged and he's about ready to wrap it up? And you remember what you already know what verse I'm thinking about. Remember when he looked to Israel and he said, I tell you what, choose today whom you'll serve. As for me and my house, hey, my wife, my kids, my family, Joshua says, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. So think for a moment, what could that possibly mean? How in the world, in the 21st century, are you to have the mind of Christ in this world now, and you're going to serve him as a vessel of honor in a godless age? What does that look like? It's a continuous, constant battle. Can I say this with all affection? I don't know quite how to put it, but you'll never enjoy the fruits of victory. You will never enjoy success in the realm of the Spirit unless you engage in the war. You got to go to battle. That's why I know none of these kind of Christians I'm about to describe go here, but they go to other churches where they're really bored with their Christianity. They're like, what is that? What'd you say? Bible, what? Boring Christianity? How does in the world God give you the Holy Spirit to put you to sleep? I don't think so. This last week, I had opportunities that I was... This week, I was reminded of my life and how insignificant and meaningless my life is, according to my view, but in Christ, off the charts. Are you with me? Left alone, I would have grown up to be an amoeba. With Christ, I'm shot. I sat at a table this week, met people, shook hands, and in my mind, I'm trying to be cool. I'm like this. It's like I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed. It's like, I'm not impressed. This happens to me every day. This is... Inside, I'm going, I can't believe this! Oh my God, oh my God! Looking around the room, freaking out. Not on the outside. On the inside. You know what I was freaking out about? Don't get me wrong. On the inside. God! What? You're amazing! Seriously! And then came the responsibility. Why? No, seriously. What am I supposed to do with this? Are you with me? Oh, God, this is... No, please, I'm trying to bring you in on this. For you, for us, in our lives. Lord, I know you didn't provide this for coolness, for awesomeness. The reality sets in, God, you provided this for a purpose that is forthcoming. So God, don't let me miss it. Don't let me miss it. Now the coolness is gone. The awesomeness is gone. The responsibility sets in and it kind of gets to your stomach. And it's like, oh, are you hearing me?
Yes.
Tomorrow when you go to work, the person you meet, whatever you do this afternoon, it is a sovereign, sanctioned act of God. And you walk with him in the victory, and when the enemy comes to lay out a trip glass hindrance, fight it. Understanding, I am not going to let that stinking thing over here distract me from the great call. Do you see that? Your life is so incredibly anointed by God, and you say, I don't feel it, I don't see it. Decide today, based upon the victory that's in Christ, to continue on in that victory and stand there and say, Lord, here I am, send me. And watch what he does. And please don't swallow the line of the enemy. When I say such a thing, in your mind, you're thinking, God, I'm sure you want to use the person next to me. Forget the person next to you. God wants to use you. As crazy as it sounds, trust me, I know. God is on the move. We need to continue on in the victory. We're almost done. Listen, in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, we're going to just methodically walk through this. Romans 6, 1. Listen, what shall we say then? Don't you? What do we say? You can hear Paul. Oy vey. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You know what? God's grace will take care of it. What? I'll be forgiven. That's deception, friends. Certainly not. How shall we who die to sin, died, past tense, to sin. Christian, you're dead to sin. Hold that on the screen. How many of you completely, absolutely are disgusted by sushi? Raise your hand. I think it's unbiblical. No, I'll prove it. God invented fire to cook fish. Jesus cooked fish on the shore of the Galilee. It wasn't sushi. Sushi is a sin. I'm kidding. Anyway, how many of you love sushi? Raise your hands. Yeah. Oh, you crazy people. Now watch. To those who can't stand it, are we tempted by it?
No.
No, you might see this sushi. We were in Hawaii once. This guy, I did a message, and this man took Lisa and I out to this place, and he completely assumed that we liked sushi. And it was a big deal. And I'm like, hey, so proud of it. This is whatever. And we're like, and all I could think of was McDonald's. Seriously, it's like, oh my gosh. And then, you know when that's that, when you have to act like you like it, and it's like, it's horrible. I'm not tempted by it. Many, apparently, of you are. Listen, God changes your palate spiritually. Oh, I can't live without sushi. And then you get saved. And you get born again. And then you can't stand it. The palate changes. Oh, I love this thing. And then you get saved and your palate changes. And the point is this. When the sushi comes along, you're dead to it. When Bubbles walks up, you're dead to her. When the computer's turned on, you're dead to it. Are you with me?
Yeah.
When the gambling opportunity is there, you're not tempted anymore. You're dead to it. And listen, the Bible says you need to reckon yourself dead to these things. That means you got to preach it to yourself. Wait a minute. Christ died to set me free from this. I'm done with that. Remember. So, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many as of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, notice, baptized not into water, baptized into who? Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit places you in the body of Christ. We're baptized into Christ Jesus. We're baptized into his death. Wow. How certain of this victory and continuance on in this victory is it for you? Absolutely. Firm. We've been baptized into his death. Verse 4, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Let's keep reading. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Christ or with him. That the body of sin might be done away with. That's the power of it. That we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. A dead man's not tempted by anything. A man that drops dead, you don't put a banana split in front of him and say, look at that. He's dead. The Bible says you're dead to the old world. He's been freed from sin. Verse 8, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, what does the Bible say? Dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also. Here it is. It's an accounting term. a mathematical term. Reckon. Do the math. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God for sin. Listen, church, read it with me. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. You are set free from its grip. And Peter's communicating that to the church. I leave you with this picture. If a child is ever tampering with an outlet, an electrical outlet, you know, it happens all the time. They're goofing around, they got a paper clip, and they stick the paper clip in there. Do you know that though that child might be 8 months old, and if that child lives to be 108, that child will never again put a paper clip in an electrical outlet? I've seen that happen. I've never seen it repeated in the life of the same child. And I made up a verse. I'm not adding to the Bible. I just made up my own verse. In Jack chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "He who has suffered from the pain of having been electrocuted has ceased from ever wanting to play with electricity again." Do you know that is true? That is true. Maybe today, you are like the Lazarus. You've got life, but you're wrapped. I'm talking to the Christian today who's weak, powerless, and basically comes to church on Sundays not to thrive, but with hopes of surviving. You live a defeated life. The church, no one else is dependent and needful of your life. Think of it. If you stopped going to church, the church wouldn't skip a beat. You're not needed. That's not God's will for you. You should make a difference. Why? Because your life's changed. The Holy Spirit's in you. And you're miserable. By design, thank God you're miserable. You were built in Christ for something completely different now. And you have ceased from the struggle with sin because you have victory over it now. This way, when it comes into your life, you fight it. And you reckon the old man dead and the new man alive in Christ. And the Bible says, though a man stumble often, yet he shall not fall. Isn't that a great verse for us? You may get tripped up. You may fall from time or stumble from time to time, but you never fall. Why? Because he who is at work within you, he's faithful, and he's going to present you before his presence with joy and praise and glory and thanksgiving. Let's pray right now together. Father, as a body of believers, both here in this sanctuary and beyond, Lord, I often think, you know, I do, that if there were not one new believer added to the church of God, if you just brought back, if the believer that's wayward would turn and get back to church, there's not enough churches in America to hold them all. To think of it, the house of God, the children of God who have left, wandered off, feelings got hurt, they got their eyes off of you, they somehow were allured away, they allowed sin to conquer them, and they have since stopped continuing on. They celebrate no victory, and they celebrate no defeat of sin. They have lost sight of the cost of the cross. Father, today we ask that your Holy Spirit might move in a sense of rededication, the coming back. So, Father, we pray now, friends, church, family, is this you today? That you'd mark your calendar on today. You would mark today and you would say, I am rededicating my life to Jesus Christ. I'm giving my life back to Jesus. I have strayed, and I want to rededicate my life. Dear friend, right now, right where you're at, pray this prayer. Lord, it's been a long time since you and I have talked. I'm defeated. I'm bitter. I'm angry. I remember some glory days between you and I, but they're gone. I recognize today you've not moved, God. I've moved. And in your kindness, in your mercy, conquer me. Draw me back into the fold. As I confess my sins, Lord, to you, to reestablish fellowship, I'm asking you, God, to renew, rekindle a love for your word, that I might go into the house of God and worship you. Dear friend, tell him now that you're coming back to him and you're not going to look back. From this moment on, you are going to reckon your old man dead and your new man alive in Jesus, and you're going to walk with him. So collectively, Father, we give you ourselves, all of us in this church and beyond, Jesus. Use us, shock us, overwhelm us, go beyond us. Lord, be so bigger than us. We ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. 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 Church, let's stand together if you would. And I want to encourage you to be praying that the Lord uses all of our efforts to reach as many people as possible. The Bible tells us in Daniel 11:32 that those who know their God shall carry out great exploits. Isn't that a radical statement? You know him. So now be willing and open to whatever exploit he wants to use in and through you. Amen. God bless you as we close in this song together.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Suffering the Will of God, Part 2. Thanks for joining us today. And you know, interestingly enough, the closer you get to God, the more you'll care about what he cares about. Suffering the Will of God, Part 2. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, it pretty much goes without saying that 2020 really has been quite a difficult and confusing year. So I'm sure a lot of us are hoping and praying for 2021 to be a time of fresh renewal of God's amazing grace and sovereign protection. There will be many challenges ahead. We're living in the last days when hostility is running rampant and when good is being called evil and evil good. And it's why we need a close devotional experience with the Lord, now more than ever. When we stay focused on Him and His Word, we won't get so easily discouraged or lose heart. So now, in anticipation of the coming year, we're offering the New King James 1-Year Bible for December's Book of the Month. Now, this best-selling 1-Year Bible guides you through the entire Bible in as little as 15 minutes a day. The New King James Version is very easy to understand, and the 1-Year Bible divides God's Word into daily readings from both the Old and New Testament, along with Psalms and Proverbs. Now, the New King James Bible is yours for a gift of any amount, and you'll find it at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.